The Cuomo administration is under fire from some corners of the environmentalist community for plans to develop snowmobile trails in the state's forest preserve. The proposal has ended up in New York's court system, with arguments scheduled for the state's Court of Appeals in late March. To break down this drama, we're joined by Gwendolyn Craig, a reporter for the Adirondack Explorer, which will feature a write-up of this issue in its March-April edition. Welcome back to the show, Gwen.
Hey, Dave.
So, Gwen, what did the state propose that has prompted this legal battle?
Well, the DEC, the State Department of Environmental Conservation, and the Adirondack Park Agency were working on these community connector trails. And essentially, the ones that are part of this lawsuit are called Class 2 Community Connector Trails. And they're multi-use trails, so they would allow snowmobiles. They would allow hiking, they would allow skiing, but they're different from other hiking trails because they're larger. They'd be about 9 feet wide, and they wanted to create this system throughout the park connecting different towns and villages. The focus was sort of on snowmobiles for these specifically just because of their width and how they would be constructed. You need to do different kinds of trail work to make the trail safe for snowmobiles. So there's more, you know, uprooting root masses. There's more grading involved. So the idea was to create this network for snowmobiles. And it came to a point where Protect the Adirondacks, which is a large environmental group, watchdog group in the Adirondacks, they said, you know, we don't think this is a lawful thing to do on forest preserve.
Yeah, why is this something that has, you know, special protections in the forest preserve? Potentially, you know, we'll have to see whether they are right in this case, but what are they arguing? This has to do, I assume, with the Forever Wild Clause of the Constitution?
Yes. So in the Forever Wild Clause, which is Article 14 of the state constitution, we basically have the environmental protections afforded to forest preserves. So this case actually doesn't just involve the Adirondack Park, it would also involve the Catskills. And so the Forever Wild Clause has a part about, you know, not selling, leasing, exchanging any timber. You can't sell, remove, or destroy the timber on the land. So they're Protect the Adirondacks is arguing that the amount of trees needing to be cut for these Class 2 community connector trails is too much and violates this part. But they're also arguing that the nature of building these trails, of constructing them when you need to bring in construction equipment, grading equipment, violates that Forever Wild part. It's kind of counterintuitive when you think of something coming in and grading up a trail for a place that's supposed to be wilderness. So that was a two-pronged argument there.
In the lead of your story, you note that this has divided environmental organizations. Is it unusual for there to be splits in the environmental community? And who are on the different sides now? Are they, you know, strange bedfellows, or are these alliances that you would have expected for an issue like this?
I don't know that it's particularly unusual for too many divisions necessarily, but this one kind of stood out because it is like a line down the sand here. So we have on one side the people who are in support of the State Department of Environmental Conservation on this are the Adirondack Mountain Club, the Open Space Institute, and the Nature Conservancy. And they're concerned that this lawsuit, which is essentially going to be looking at what the definition of a tree is, what you can cut legally to create a trail, they're concerned that this, if the court rules in Protect's favor, that that means all trail work will be under much heavier scrutiny. And there's been some projects where they want to reroute some trails to make them safer for hikers, or the trail is so degraded, they're trying, you know, to do some trail work there. So if they can't cut anything, even small saplings and things, they're concerned of what the impacts could be. On the other side of this case, you have the Adirondack Council, Adirondack Wild, Friends of the Forest Preserve, and the Sierra Club's Atlantic Chapter all supporting Protect. And they're arguing that, and what's interesting is you do have former DEC staff the executive director of the Adirondack Council is a former DC department head, you know, on this side of the spectrum, saying DEC did not have to cut this many trees for these trails, that there's ways around it. And really the level of Class 2 community connector trails doesn't rise to violating this Forever Wild clause.
So like I said at the top, this case is going to be heard by the state's Court of Appeals. What have some of the rulings been from the lower courts that have heard this case so far?
Yeah, so the Supreme Court, the lawsuit started in 2013, so this has been going for a while. The Supreme Court issued a decision, or an injunction in 2016 against some tree cutting and construction. Then in 2017, it ruled in favor of the DEC. And then the case went to the Appellate Division, Third Department, and basically the court then overruled the Supreme Court decision and said that, and here's kind of where there's also an interesting side problem, where the court ruled that the DEC cut too many trees and they were in violation of Article 14, but they also ruled that the DEC did not violate the Forever Wild Clause. So they sort of separated, and this is what the Adirondack Council and Adirondack Wild are kind of arguing. They sort of separated this part of the Constitution that's generally, at least these groups have thought of as one statement. So it's sort of put into flux, like, what does that mean then? Can we cut trees or not? Can we do trail work or not? And the DEC has issued a moratorium on a lot of different trail work in the Adirondacks while this gets figured out.
You note in your story that cases involving the Forever Wild Clause of the state constitution very rarely get heard by the state's top court. How rarely are we talking? And because, you know, that the state's top court is rarely hearing these types of cases, does that really raise the stakes for this type of case?
Yes. So I don't have exact numbers of how often this appears in the top court, but I spoke with John Sheehan at the Adirondack Council, and he said it's just a few times a century that these Forever Wild cases come before the Court of Appeals. So, you know, this really could be a lodestar for future generations and trail work. Of course, Protect the Adirondacks believes that their case is specifically on these Class 2 community connector trails. The other groups who are opposed to this case believe that this has an impact for all trails. So there's a lot to really figure out once this decision happens. Either way, what, you know, we'll either be seeing more trail work and more of these networks throughout the forest preserve from the DEC and APA, or we will be seeing less trail work, and we'll have to see how much less, if it impacts our regular hiking and skiing trails, or, you know, just the snowmobile trails. But it all remains to be seen, and that's March 23rd is the court hearing. So after that, I'm sure shortly after, we'll know.
You talk about how this could have broad implications. What has that meant, though, while this case has made its way through the court system? Has there been, say, a hold on the development of new hiking trails as they wait to see what this could mean, even though, you know, as Protect the Adirondacks says, their focus is on snowmobile trails?
Yes, it has had an impact. And DEC basically issued this moratorium on a lot of, like, trail work in the forest preserve, anything that involves cutting any vertical stem. And so that's in the nitty-gritty of it all. DEC measures a tree as 3 inches diameter at breast height, which has been sort of a wonky thing to wrap your head around. But Protect is arguing that anything smaller than that is also a tree and deserves the same protection under the Constitution. And so, like, a lot of trail work, I spoke with, like, Bark Eaters Trail Alliance, I spoke with the Adirondack Mountain Club. They've had a few different projects on hold because of this DEC-issued moratorium. Peter Bauer of Protect the Adirondacks believes the DEC just issued the moratorium on their own, and it doesn't really necessarily apply. There also has been examples of plenty of trail work that has been done last year, so not everything is completely on hold. But, you know, there was a jackrabbit trail work in the Saranac Lake Wild Forest that kind of got on pause. And then Ben Brousseau at the Adirondack Mountain Club said they weren't able to develop a section of the North Country National Scenic Trail this year because of this moratorium. So it has had impacts while people wait to see exactly what the courts will decide.
Do you have any sense of how fast the court could rule on this if they are scheduled to hear it on March 23rd?
So Peter Bauer told me he believed, you know, we could have a decision anywhere from 1 to 3 months after the hearing. He said they're usually pretty quick. So I'm relying on him for that information, but we'll see. I'm sure we'll hear sometime in the summer or fall this year.
In following this issue with my, you know, barely a toe in the water, I was really struck by the language that Peter Bauer of Protect the Adirondacks used in his press release when he was talking about the critiques of his lawsuit, specifically aimed at some of these private organizations, whether it's the Adirondack Mountain Club or the Open Space Institute, arguing that they're advancing these red herrings and saying they're kind of these revolving door organizations for state employees, and they're basically in bed together. Is that unique language for him and his organization, or does that represent, I guess, the increased stakes that we have here?
Well, this is definitely Peter Bauer's opinion, and it was worth including in the article since that's how, you know, he fell and he's bringing this lawsuit. I would say, you know, he listed a few different individuals who have gone from the Open Space Institute to the DEC and vice versa. A lot of the environmental organizations in DEC have different staff that move between the state and nonprofit organizations. That was his opinion, and you know, he has a right to voice it. He's voiced opinions like that before, and it's also just fact too that some of these staff have had overlapping careers. So sometimes that's worth pointing out when there's a lot of different issues at hand that, you know, involve all the groups. And with this one, it's such a divided concern over what the outcome of the case could be. So we'll have to see if there's more coming out of that. But he did make an interesting observation.
And finally, you know, I'm used to seeing a lot of these environmental groups all on the same press release together. And I'm curious, as we move into this case and past it eventually, is there any sort of permanent rift, or are these groups able to, you know, segment their lives and still come together and work together on other issues?
That's an interesting question, because I was thinking about this, and, you know, we just had these lengthy budget hearings last week and the environmental conservation budget hearing, and, you know, Peter Bauer and Michael Barrett, the executive director of Adirondack Mountain Club, were both, you know, on this Zoom hearing about advocating for the park and asking for $10 million for the Adirondack Park and the Catskill Forest Preserve. So they definitely, you know, are able to put aside their differences at times and come together for, you know, the park itself. Everyone has the best interests of the park at heart, I believe, from what I've seen. And, I think there's always going to be, you know, different viewpoints for certain issues. But ultimately, like, they are able, they do have times where they all come together on things. And we also had the Adirondack Council on that call, and the Catskill, a member of the Catskill community, on that budget hearing call. So, you know, it just depends on the issues. And this one right now is sort of a hot topic for everybody.
Well, we've been speaking with Gwendolyn Craig, a reporter for the Adirondack Explorer. Gwen, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.